Thank you for downloading this episode of the Football Purist Podcast. For more episodes, go to www.footballpurist.com, and you can also find us at iTunes.
Welcome to another episode of the Purely Arsenal Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Sessions, and today I've got three great guests with me again. I've got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil?
I'm fine. I'm good. Good results all round, I think. Overall, so happy. Good weekend, Jack.
Yeah, great weekend for the Arsenal. Need more of those, don't we? Definitely. Yeah. Also got Michael Harris with me. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good, Jack. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, mate. Doing well. Looking forward good to stuff. Chatting about... Finally having a comfortable victory.
About time.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And I've also got late call up because of Mark Harrison's absence. We're going to dock him some points. We've got Stuart Dancer. How you doing, Stuart?
Not bad. Jack yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing well, mate. Looking forward to tackling yesterday's game. So yesterday's game was we beat 4-0, beat Swansea 4-0, and eventually it was a pretty comfortable game, Neil. But any questions about the lineup? I know you wanted Lucas to start. Was there any other questions that you had about the lineup?
Actually, no, not really. I think I'm quite comfortable with Gabriel going over to right back. So for me the defence was pretty much okay. We don't really have much choice in the engine, the midfield, with all our injuries at the moment. So we have to settle for Ramsey and Xhaka. And yeah, I think it was pretty much as I expected. I do still feel sorry for Oxlade at times. He doesn't really get a shout, but you know, as it transpired, Iwobi had a cracking game. So who were you going to drop if Oxlade came in? But I tend to think that Lucas should get a bit more game time. Yeah, I mean, apart from that, I think it was a fairly a team that pretty much picked itself all round because of the injuries as well. It was great to, you know, be able to recall much of the spine of our team as well, you know, Cech and Ozil and the like all coming back into it to give us the impetus we needed to try and do well in the fixture. So no, for me, I was fairly content with how we started.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Michael, what do you think, before we go into too many specifics, what do you think of the overall performance, Michael, yesterday?
I thought, you know, again, we started slowly, but then we just showed a little bit of quality in the latter stage of the first half. And then in the second half, it was just wave after wave after wave until we got the second. So I just think our quality proved in the end, but Swansea were pretty, you know, pretty spirited in the first 15-20 minutes. And then, you know, all their pressing and everything seemed to drop off, and that gave us some space, and we ran out comfortable winners with. But it was nice to see a bit of ruthlessness in the second half. People wanting to get goals and shots in on goal. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. It sort of eased our way into the game. Stuart, how did you feel about the game? Sum up the game as you saw it, mate.
Well, it's pretty much what the lad said. First half, it was... We never start properly at the moment. I don't know what it is. But one thing the lads haven't touched on, would it have been a different game if Koscielny would have given the penalty? Because we haven't mentioned that. The second half, it was all Arsenal. And I think Swansea was scared to play football in case we opened them up more than we did. Four goals, all good. If it was, in my opinion, I still don't think we were playing as flowing football as... We are, but who can complain over a 4-0 victory, lads?
No, you can't. You can't. But we'll discuss it because we've been concerned with the slow starts, Neil, for some time now. What do you put it down? It seems like a consistent issue with Arsenal teams. Doesn't matter if we change one or two players, really. It's been a consistent issue for a few months now. Can you put your finger on it, mate?
Starting to think it's Wenger's tactic to lull the opposition into a false sense of security and then hit them in the second half. I to be honest, I'm only joking. I really don't know. I don't think there's any excuse for it. We spoke at length about this in the last podcast. I don't understand when a team is playing at such a high level, you know, for such high stakes in any campaign that you can afford to, in theory, give the opposition a head start, and I don't agree with it. I've always felt, especially, you know, speaking on this pod and getting your guys' opinions as well on how Arsenal should sort of start a game, playing on the front foot with high intensity. I always feel that if we always, you know, take the initiative and get take control of the game, I've always found that we tend to play a bit better. Yeah, there are the occasions where we've gone one up and we've ended up conceding, drawing, or even losing the game. But overall, if we're playing with on a very high intense game, you know, first to tackles, winning 50-50s, I just feel that we set ourselves up for a better 90 minutes. You know, we can't keep affording to do this because, all right, while we've been able to save the day against, you know, Bournemouth, Preston, and also with Swansea to a certain extent yesterday, when we come up against, you know, the Chelsea's, Man United, Tottenham's, Liverpool's, you know, they're all playing well. Are we really going to be able to afford to start in that vein? I just don't think we are. I think we're going to struggle if we do that. We have to start playing from the first second. I don't understand it. It could be a tactic of Wenger's, but I'll be shocked and stunned if it is. But no, Jack, like I said last pod, I don't know what the reason is, but there isn't any, for me, there's no excuse for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm delighted with a 4-0 win, obviously, Michael, but do you think personnel's got anything to do with it? Especially yesterday, Michael, you look at Giroud's obviously playing central. He limits us in terms of our ability to press, if you like, and our pace from the front line. Ramsey's coming for Coquelin. There's a definite shift in the speed of covering ground in the middle of the park, and then no Bellerin, no Walcott. Do you think that's got something to do with it?
Yeah, I think it has. You know, you're looking at, you know, three players who have not really featured in the really good runs of results that we had earlier in the season, who have come into the team and done some good stuff for us, you know, in their own ways. But I think like Neil was saying, I think it could be a tactical thing in terms of the way we're starting games. But it sort of goes back to the way we play sometimes. We're very we react to things. We don't take the front foot and set the tone of the game. Sometimes we react to, okay, let's see how good they are first 10, 15 minutes, and then we might do something about it. And you can do that against maybe and get away with it with the likes of Swansea, but you know, you're playing the top sides, you can't really do that. You've got to put yourself on the front foot and put an imprint on the game and set a standard. So it is a bit weird how the last couple of games we have sort of gone out like that. I can only assume that it must be some tactical thing by Wenger, maybe conserving energy a little bit. I'm not sure, but it is a bit worrying when, you know, when he was telling me that we were on the back foot again. You know, it's a bit strange how we keep going out like that, you know. But I think a lot of part of it could be, like you said, Jack, it could be the personnel coming in and just affecting the dynamics of the team a little bit when we go forward.
Yeah, we always have a lot of injuries, and it certainly doesn't help, does it, for that team to adapt and get used to the way we want to play. So, but Stuart, in the first half, I mean, Swansea, you know, respectively, they're not a great side, and they did cause us some problems. We know Clements come in, he's put Routledge out and Dyer out on the wings. They've obviously gone for pace with a big man up front, Lorient up front, but we did look a little bit suspect, and we conceded a lot of chances in the first half, Stuart. You concerned with the amount of chances we're conceding?
if you lads watch a lot of Arsenal games, it doesn't matter what week in, week out, it's always the same. Arsenal, unfortunately, love it or hate it, are a team. It's not like the early 90s or late 80s anymore. Football isn't like that, where most teams now, they push forward and it's end to end. It's great for the neutral, but as Arsenal supporter, it can't be, depending what year you were born. You know, I was born in like late in the 80s, so I had all the Adams era where it wouldn't have happened. But then again, we wouldn't have been playing the expansive football as we are. But the thing is, it, like as lad said, with personnel, sometimes we do move, you know what I mean, like the defensive midfield situation, Ramsey and Xhaka, sometimes we do, because they always want to be on the ball. There is gaps in behind. As you know, with what the lads said, the reason why Arsenal are not flowing up top is we haven't got the pace. In the end of the day, pace kills. And on occasions yesterday, especially in the first half of Swansea, they could have got in a few times.
Can I
just make one quick point? I think Michael and Stu are right, and you as well, Jack, by saying that it could be personnel and the pace of the players that we have with a lot of pace can change the dynamic of the game. But there have also been a lot of starts with them in the team, and we've still started quite slowly and not had much of the ball. And I don't think it's completely down to that. I think it's down to the attitude of the players, because they're the ones that can switch themselves on and mentally prepare and visualise what they're going to do. And if they're not going to be doing that in the first instance, then that's why there could be a slow start. But anyway, I mean, I think there could be a million and one answers for the reasons. It just needs to be ironed out.
Yeah.
Neil, I'm going to ask a quick question into you. Do you think defenders defend? And that might sound a really silly question. If you go back to a heyday, you couldn't imagine Tony Adams doing the same stuff that Cashel.
No, Stafford.
It is. I think it's a different era with defenders.
Oh God,
have to do more than head the ball and that. And that's why it might not be the same as it was now to then. If you see what I mean.
Oh no,
Bring back the 80s.
It's a completely different game. The game is evolved. It's completely different. You know, it was Wenger that actually started to throw in a new lease of life for the likes of Adams and Bold and Keown, and had them charging up as well. If you remember, before they would literally just sit back and do, as you said, Stu, a true defensive job. But they are, and they have now been told, obviously, to move forward. And but I think that's an overall thing, which I think Wenger was probably the main instigator of all that. He came in and completely revolutionised the way the game was played, not just in England, but I think across Europe and even to a certain extent the world. So, yeah. And it was great to watch, and no one's going to deny him that, I don't think.
Yeah, but the concern for us, even like immediately looking at other teams, you know, Chelsea got David Luiz in at the heart of their centre backs, and they don't give up half the amount of chances what we do, you know.
Mm.
And that has to be the frustrating thing. I mean, Mustafi and Koscielny to me look like a fantastic partnership. They look like what we've been waiting for in terms of individual players, but we still give up a lot of chances. So it's obviously a collective thing rather than an individual thing in defence. But it's just something that is concerning. 12 shots, giving up 12 shots to Swansea away from home is not something that I think we should be doing. But if we move on into the game a little bit, Neil, they had a couple of it. We didn't really create a lot early on. That key sort of decision, like Stuart said, was the tackle from, on the not so much of a tackle from Koscielny on the young lad Key, I think. It was a good decision by the referee. It wasn't a definite dive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of the times where the referee, I think, got it spot on. It's all very difficult when you're watch it first in the first instance and you don't have the benefit of replays and different angles and stuff. When I first saw it, I thought, shit, that's a pen. For sure, that's a penalty. But then when you looked at, I think there was one particular angle, I think it was the last angle that they looked at it, and you could clearly see that he's actually putting his foot in. He's looking for it. The lad Key is actually putting his foot in to hit Koscielny's to go down. And I think even Koscielny, to a certain extent, was trying to withdraw his leg. So I think the lad definitely went looking for it. And to be honest, it was the right decision in the end. So to answer sort of like Stu's point at the beginning, saying, you know, the penalty and all the rest of it, but if it wasn't a penalty, I get what you mean, Stu. If it had been given and it was a controversial decision, could things have been different? Yes, they could have been, but point is it wasn't given and the rest is history. So, no, good decision by the referee for change. Nice to see that.
Yeah, and rightly so. And then probably the best passage of play that we had in the last 5 minutes of the game, Michael, led to Olivier Giroud goal, 5-5 for him, first time for an Arsenal player to do it since Emmanuel Adebayor, who we hate.
Wow.
And it's, you know, for, you know,
he's company there, Jack. Good company.
Yeah, he's a scumbag, isn't he? But Michael, it was right place, right time, good goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got a kick on the foot, or he got stamped on the foot about a couple of minutes before then, and if you're looking back on the highlights, because you see he sort of smacks his hand in frustration because he knew, you know, he's got a bit of an injury. Then he carries on playing, and then we have that really lovely flowing attack. He just can't get on the end of Ramsey's ball across, and then he keeps himself active, and again just in the right place at the right time. You know, header from Ozil, which was a surprise, and then Giroud's just there in the right place, right time, like you said, and he's just such a rich vein of form, and the way he's improved, he's all round game, actually. I think, you know, his touches are there still, and obviously I think he's more clinical. I think there was some stat of You know, he's, you know, 14 of his last 17 shots have been goals or some crazy stat like that.
Yeah,
which is insane.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. And you know, he's evolved into this, you know, big, you know, game, you know, changing guy, you know, a striker we've been crying out for. You know, he's not got electrifying fine pace, which everyone keeps on referring to, but the guy's there at the right time at the moment. He's in a rich vein of form. So let's hope it just keeps rolling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if he keeps scoring, we're happy, aren't we, Stuart? But do you still... It is a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Because early on in the season, we were saying, you know... And clearly, it wasn't Wenger's plan A, was it? Giroud didn't start a game in the Premier League, I don't think, until October. Or maybe even the start of November. So, Stuart, it wasn't plan A for him, was it? Do you see Giroud staying in the team? I mean, as long as he keeps performing, you can't drop him, can you, Stuart?
Well, Jack, if I'm honest, I do prefer Alexis Sanchez up front, but you can't argue with Giroud's record at the moment. So in that regard, I will keep him in for his record alone. But what we've seen to find, and if you go over games, when Giroud's seems to have like a bug up his bum, he's awesome. And then once he's in the side for a while, it seems like he drops off. So I'm hoping with Alexis Sanchez constantly pushing, we can get the best out of Olivier Giroud and the best for Arsenal. So you can't have argue. It's a win-win at the moment. The only thing I will say is Danny Welbeck is coming back, so that will help as well to push him on even more. Let's face it, we all want our players to do well. But if you ask me, when we're playing Chelsea in a few weeks, I'll probably go with the quickest front three we have against Chelsea away. That's just my personal opinion.
I think if we play like anything like we've played against Manchester City and Man United, then I'd start Giroud, just simply because we really don't contain or possess the ball very well in away big games this season. And if we continue to, and Wenger's worried that that's going to happen again, then we need someone to almost, I always feel, we need someone to almost hold the ball up and allow midfield to join the rest of the attack, because it's almost been one-way traffic in away against the big teams this season. And I'm hoping it's not the case, because there's no reason it should be the case. I just think we're given far too much respect, these big teams at the moment. We're far too much respect. We should go there and dominate the ball. But we've not been doing it. So I've
done it for years, Jack.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Because I'm hoping, you know, even in the past, O'Neill, you know, we go to Chelsea and we'd lose the game, but
that's right.
And oftentimes we dominate the ball. We dominate the ball. Mm. We look like we're going to win the game, and then we get caught.
Agreed.
I almost preferred that in a way. I was more comfortable watching that kind of game, because it was like, you know, it was the way I know Arsenal should play. It was a comfortable way of Arsenal playing. But when we set up with sort of 9-10 people behind the ball, it's not Arsenal. We're not a team that's very good at defending on the back foot, I don't think.
No.
But it's a hard one. Yeah, there's no right or wrong answer. We got great options in the front three. After the goal, Neil, I mean, half-time came, and then Giroud did come back out for the second half. It did look like he tweaked his ankle, but it was pretty much one-way traffic after that, wasn't it, Neil?
I think it was. I think this is, again, we woke up. It keeps getting earlier, doesn't it? 70 minutes, then 45 minutes, and this was like almost 37, 38 minutes, and we got that goal just before half-time, which is always a great, great time to score a goal, because it changes the opposition's manager's talk, and then they have to rethink how they want to, you know, set up their tactics for the second half. So it's always a good time to score, always a bad time to concede. The second half was all us. I think for me, Iwobi was awesome. I really think he was, I mean, he had a plot to play literally every goal, I think, as well. Yeah. But he was awesome. He was full of energy. He was full of life. And this is going back to right at the start when you asked me about the team lineup. You know, I'm always sort of like feel a little bit sorry for Oxlade, because I think he's playing a lot better than he had been in the past couple of seasons, and I think he deserves some game times just like I think Lucas does. But you couldn't deny Wenger's choice in Iwobi yesterday, because he was strong, he was enterprising, he was creative, and you know, even what he did with the fourth goal, you know, just the trickery and the balance that he has, you know, it was just destroying the defenders. They didn't really have much chance. He got lucky with the deflections, but I think we deserve them, to be fair. And I just think we had them on the back foot. They had no answers, and it was all Arsenal. And this is what we like to see. You know, we like to see Arsenal go to these kind of games where we're not playing the top five or six, And these are the games that we've really got to dominate, because, again, I've always said about, it's not just about the 3 points, it's showing the rest of the league our intent, that we're not going to be like frightened or submissive against so-called sort of lower club, the lower level teams. And we need to really, you know, show everyone that we mean business. And then from that, that can be a springboard to do well against the Chelseas and the Man Uniteds of this world. So I was very pleased with that. It's been a long time coming, as the lad said earlier, and it was very much deserved as well, even though we might have got a bit lucky here and there.
Yeah, that second goal just seemed to relax the team. And like Neil said, Michael, I think Alex Iwobi was just central to everything, wasn't he, really, in the second half?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, it was his dad's birthday, I'm hearing. So I'm sure he'll get some extra pocket money from him when he gets back to London. So that was nice. But no, he was, as Neil was touching on, he was superb. The confidence was there. You know, he's been getting a bit of flack from people online and social media and what have you. But all he has to do is listen to his teammates around him and the man in charge. And if he keeps, as long as he keeps playing him, as long as he keeps putting in performances like he did yesterday, I think it was the third goal where he just cuts inside and he just shrugs off a few people, you know, like they're not there. And, you know, and he's 20 years old. He's shrugging off big guys, just dominating, you know, the ball, real confidence. And then, you know, you look at today, this afternoon, you've got someone who's more concerned about his haircut and, you know, dabbing and £89 million worth of absolute shit. And then you've got someone like Iwobi who, you know, who costs nothing and he has so much talent and more importantly, he's got the right attitude. And as long as he keeps doing that, the boy, he can do whatever he wants, you know.
Yeah.
So he's really, really proud of him yesterday. He was excellent.
Yeah, you can just see why Wenger wants to start him almost every time, because he technically, Stuart, for his age, he's so comfortable on the ball, isn't he? You know, just unbelievable talent he's going to be, Stuart.
Oh, as you lads know, I'm quite a big fan of Iwobi's, to say the least. I think he really came of age, and Neil will always go on about it, the Chelsea game when we won that one. The balance he created, he wasn't fazed. He knows how to play football. It's just, I think, like everything with Arsenal, it's a case of being confident. And I think Arsenal as a whole, not just him, is Arsenal's biggest problem is, I think, we're the most inconsistent team from week in and week out, or actually within 10, 15 minutes, depending who we play and where we play.
Yeah, it can be a little bit worrying that. Yeah, it's true. But with that second goal, I mean, Fat Frank would have been proud of it, wouldn't he? A great deflection and went into the one place that Fabianski couldn't get to for the second goal. But if you don't shoot, you don't score. And sometimes we don't do enough of that, do we, Neil? Sometimes we don't shoot enough, do we?
No, we don't. We've always said that sometimes when this walking the ball in the net isn't working and the opposition is set up to sort of counter those kind of moves, it might be worth just taking a shot here and there, not all the time, because I mean that can be foolhardy as well, but especially on a wet playing surface, you know, it was damp. You never know, because I mean, Xhaka had a couple, didn't he? Where, you know, on another day, if Fabianski wasn't alert, that would have gone in. And it's always worth it, because if the ball's skidding on the wet surface, it can make life a bit difficult for the goalkeeper, especially if he's not properly sighted with his defence in front of him as well. So I think it's worth it, because you always can get that lucky deflection. And I don't care, you know. If people want to call us lucky, you know, and all that kind of stuff, I really don't care, because the point is, for me, it was about the creativity and creating the chances. That's the important part. And I think every team is allowed a little bit of luck in football. You know, it happens all the time. We get luck against us, and we'll get luck for us as well. It balances out. So I completely agree that, you know, we should try and do a bit more of that. And hopefully they might have learned a little bit from doing that from yesterday's game. So, yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. The hard thing is, if we're playing Giroud central, I probably like Iwobi still probably more on the left at the moment. But he does seem like someone that can play, you know, central, left, right.
He does
seem like someone that's difficult. But for his age, I just think he's gonna be fantastic. He's going to improve every year.
Remember we were saying we just got to be very, Wenger's got to be very cute with the way he just handles him and doesn't, you know, people don't expect too much from him too quickly and all of that stuff. And I think he can become a tremendous player, real asset. and hopefully he'll stay with Arsenal for a long, long time, and he matures into a really, really accomplished player, which I think, as Michael was saying, he's got all the attributes, the right attitude, everything for that to happen, and I'm sure it will. I really do believe in him.
Yeah, credit to
Wayne. Yeah, sorry, Jack. Just going to say, he's. You can see it in his some of the things they do off the pitch. I don't know if you see there was something on BT Sport where you'd only had the basketball over here in the week at the O2, and they and there was this like specialist tricksters, and they were doing some stuff with Ramsey, Mertesacker, and Iwobi, and Iwobi did Ramsey knocked the ball in, and then I think something happened. It rebounded. And it went to Iwobi, and he hit the ball in the volley, and it went into the basketball net, like straight in the net. It didn't even hit the rim or anything. And then there's a crowd of people there, and you've got to watch it just because of Iwobi's reaction. You know, he just like he's like a little school kid, you know, which he probably is still, isn't he? And he's running around. He's saying, "Oh, I can't believe it! Did you see that? Did you record that?" You know. And it's just his attitude, you know, his infectious attitude. And when he scored, when he got the first goal yesterday, when it cut to the bench, you saw everyone's face light up. I think it was Maitland-Niles.
Yeah, he was jumping up and down.
And you can just see he had a massive beam on his face. And I think when Giroud scored, you know, there was the applause, but there wasn't that sort of same thing. Oh, you know, but when Iwobi scored, everyone was just sort of really, really happy for him. And, you know, and again, he just shows you the character of the kid. He's got the right attitude. And that's why if people got the right attitude, you're happy for them when they succeed and do things well.
Yeah.
You know, it could be you know, at work or whatever, you know, but if someone you really like and has got the right attitude and wants to learn and they do something really well, you're going to be nothing but happy for them. There's not going to be any hatred or anything like that. And I think this kid, he's got it, you know, he's definitely got it.
Yeah, they know he's something special. He's keeping Ox, Welbeck, obviously just come back, but Ox, Lucas, you know, he's keeping all these, you know, top players, you know, with a lot more experience. He's keeping them out of the team. And Wenger just knows his quality. He doesn't care about the age. Age is just a number to him, isn't it? So it's just that he, you know, he's got the quality. I think he's going to be a fantastic player for us for years to come, hopefully. And, you know, thankful that Nigeria didn't make the African Cup of Nations. We really can't do with him right now. So, third goal, I mean, Michael, third goal was an own goal, but again, created by Iwobi. Nothing the goalkeeper could really do about it. Moving on beyond that, made a few changes. Giroud came off, obviously, early on, and Ox came on. The fourth goal, Michael, talk me through the fourth goal. Alexis finally got his goals. Great volley, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was the one I was talking about when the Iwobi sort of shrugged past a couple of people, showed his strength.
Yeah, brilliant.
Just touching on not going back on Ox, I think Ox, you know, showed a little bit of fire yesterday, because when he came on, he got a bit of a kick from one of the players, and it should have been a free kick, it wasn't. And then straight after that, you saw him, he was hearing around, and I think, you know, he just got his blood up a bit. And you know, obviously going off track a bit, but again, you know, Alexis, when he scored the goal, he looked like it was like a monkey off his back. He looked a bit frustrated even then when he scored the goal, to be fair. So it was just him being in the right place at the right time, because obviously the ball fell to, it sort of was going towards Ramsey's direction from Ox's cross. And then again, it just fell to Alexis, and he was there in the right place at the right time. But yeah, he seemed like he had a bit of one in his mind yesterday, Alexis, to be fair, which I'm sure we'll touch on in a bit.
Yeah, we will get to it. We're going to talk about the issue that may not be so much of an issue, but it's certainly been branded a lot on social media. So we will talk about it and touch on it a little bit later on when the fans' questions, because that was pretty much 90% of our fans' questions that we were getting some way or form. They're talking about Alexis, but which is slightly unfortunate, because it was overall, Stuart, it was a good performance. I want you to touch on, how do you feel Xhaka and Ramsey did as a partnership? Been so many different partnerships in there. Is it something you see long-term, Xhaka and Ramsey, Stuart?
I'm going to say probably not, only because I think Francis Coquelin is our one true only defensive midfielder. But you can only play what's available. They did all right. I'm a Xhaka fan. Ramsey, if he'd cut out his Hollywood stuff and just played it quicker and simpler, then he'd probably get back to the standard he was like a few years ago, in my opinion, where he could shoot from 20 yards, like the goal against Liverpool, straight in the top-hand corner. I think he's just trying too hard. He's had too many things going away with injuries, but only time will tell. I think he's got another, I would have thought he'd have played the next few games, bearing in mind Coquelin's coming back from injury. But if you don't give them a chance, don't play them, they're always going to be a bit out of sync. So yesterday, I don't think the centre midfield, in my opinion, was pressed too badly by Swansea. It was just efficient, really, more than anything. It wasn't like I thought to myself, wow, that was amazing. I just think they did what they should have done. If you call it a criticism for trying too hard with Ramsey, but I think if he just does a pass quicker rather than take two or three touches, you might get the speed back. But then in saying that, he hasn't played, so I'm not going to be too disheartened with him. I just thought the lads did what they had to do. And if you were asking me out of 10, I'd probably give them a 7, really.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that, Neil. But there is there's a stat here from Atwas the Goon. I saw it on Twitter yesterday, and to me it's a little bit deceiving. It says Xhaka and Ramsey have played for 312 minutes. They've scored 13 goals, the team has in that time, and conceded only two in that time. Neil, what about you? How did you feel they played?
I kind of agree with Stu. I think Coughlin's always got to be first choice. But when you're down to the bare bones, I mean, in an ideal world, we'd love to see Coughlin and Santi, wouldn't we? I think this pod has always agreed that should be the first choice always. But Santi, I'm a little bit worried about now with another setback. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with him going forward.
Yeah, another operation. So
that's quite a worry. So then we've got to make do with what we've got. I think Elneny's a good cover. I've always said he's a tidy player. There's nothing too impressive about him, but I think he does an okay job. So then we're left with Jack being at Bournemouth. We're left with Ramsey and Xhaka, as we saw yesterday. And I don't think it was too bad. I felt that with Ramsey doing his usual and bombing and box to box kind of play and doing all that sort of stuff. But Xhaka did actually stay back and sort of cover and try and protect the defence when Ramsey was on his escapade of trying to score a goal. So in that respect, I think that there is a kind of balance. But I think Stu's exactly right. I've always said the same thing. I think Ramsey's got to be a bit careful. He's got to learn to walk again before he can run and just do the simple things. And I think that will improve his confidence and make him a better player going forward. I'm sure he can rekindle that form he had a couple of years ago, but he's just got to not sort of want it now. He's got to just be a little bit patient, and I think it will come. So I was a bit encouraged, actually, seeing yesterday. I thought that they weren't too bad. I think even Xhaka was involved in a couple of the goals from the beginning. I think there was one where he recycled the ball and it led to one of the goals, and I think even the one where Iwobi was doing his magic, I think that was a ball was distributed from him from Xhaka from the back. So he's great for his distribution. He's not the quickest of players, yes, but distribution and his vision is fantastic. And I think that's nice, because you've got Ramsey, who wants to run around like a madman, and you've got him, who's a little bit more sort of careful and makes a good pass. So with the two sort of a little bit chalk and cheese, I think the combination could work when we need them to be, together. So yeah, it's not a complete sort of, oh my God, is that all we've got now to play in that position? But for me, still, I know I've seen on Twitter and social media, I think people are saying that is the answer. They're quite happy with that. But for me, it's still got to be Coughlin. It's got to be there if he's fit.
Yeah, I just think Coughlin...
Did it say on Twitter who they played against, though?
Sorry, say that again, Stuart.
Did it say on Twitter who Ramsey and Xhaka played
against? No, well, if you add it up, it's been, Bournemouth and... Bournemouth away was the second half, and then it's been Preston as well, and obviously yesterday's game. So I don't know if there's one or two more in there. Obviously, there probably is, but in terms of opposition, respectively... You are playing against teams that aren't necessarily top five, top six. But we've seen it also with Michael, with Coughlin, and even Cazorla there. We've sometimes been overrun in midfield. But I just feel Michael Coughlin gives us that speed almost, that athleticism, the urgency maybe that we don't have from Xhaka Ramsey. But that's just my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Coughlin in the side, yes, he definitely gives us that bit of dynamism. Dynamic side of things, in terms of when he gets the ball, the momentum sort of goes with the rest of the team. It goes through him. Whereas when Santi's in the team, he does it with his distribution mainly. Whereas, Coughlin is just perpetual motion, isn't he? As soon as he wins the ball, he's giving it to someone. to start a move off. I think in the first half, I mean, you know, Ramsey and Xhaka, they were very sort of more, they were very conservative, I should say. You know, Ramsey was still trying to make his runs, and obviously he got that crossing which led to the goal, the first goal. But I think, you know, there's some cases where, you know, some cases you've got to look at who you're playing against, the opposition, but then you've got to look at, you know, some things take time to build a partnership or a relationship, and the likelihood is that, who was to say, but by the time, let's say they get a couple more games together and they start to look really good, then all of a sudden, Coughlin's, you know, going to probably want to go back in the side, and then that gets disrupted. So, you know, we've just got hopefully that they'll kick on. Obviously, we've got a couple of games coming up before the Chelsea one, but I just think there were signs there yesterday, the second half especially, where they were working well together. I think there were times, once we got the fourth goal, Xhaka was trying to get on the score sheet himself a little bit. You know, a couple of shots he had where he had people, you know, he could have offloaded to. So I think that might have got a couple of the players backs up. But I think in general, they played pretty well together. They improved as they played together. They got, as more minutes went by, they seemed to understand what the other was doing. But Ramsey's game really didn't change that much. He still was trying to bomb forward. I just thought Xhaka, as Neil touched on, you know, he did feature. He did get an interception which led to one of the goals. Someone. So yeah, he seemed very very disciplined yesterday. I thought Xhaka was. He was very, very disciplined. Didn't get involved in anything. And you know, again, let's just hope that, you know, they can continue to, you know, build on that sort of partnership that they have, you know, what seems to be forming there between the two of them, because that's all we've got at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully next two or three games we'll continue to see it blossom and get better and better, and hopefully, you know, we can start games a little bit faster with them, those two in midfield, and just dominate the ball a little bit more early on. But, yeah, I agree. I think you know, it's been getting better, and, you know, you've got to give them time, haven't you? You've got to give them time. So hopefully, fingers crossed, because, like you said, that is our main option now. We're going to have to pretty much look till the end of the season with Coughlin, Ramsey, and Xhaka, and with Elneny coming in here and there, you'd figure he wouldn't play that much, but unless injury causes it.
The thing is, as well, with Coughlin, if you look at the next four games, it's only the last one which you really would want to have him back in. So there's no real need to really push him in, you know, rush him back against Burnley or the FA Cup game, I'd say, and Watford at home. So he's got that, Wenger's got that luxury to sort of say, well, okay, I don't really need to throw Coughlin in. I know I want him getting ready for the Chelsea game, but, you know, let's just hope that the two of them can remain fit, because then he has that option of maybe putting him in maybe the Watford game and then just getting him ready for the Chelsea one. So, you know, it's good to have that option. Let's hope it is in place when that game comes round.
Yeah, absolutely. And overall, great 4-0 win, and you know, we're back to winning ways, couple of wins on a bounce, and hopefully performances start to continue to improve. But nowhere else we can start with a fans' question, Stuart. We're going to talk about Alexis Sanchez's substitution and how he reacted to it. Here's a couple of fans' questions for you before I give you your opinion, Stuart. At Mahala Clark, Mary says, Alexis Sanchez, current attitude views. At AlexG1320 says, I get Sanchez's frustration. If you were the manager, would you take him off to further rest him despite the contract fear? And at Ords First also talks about it, saying, we've seen it before with Alexis. Do you think everyone's overreacting because of the contract situation? What's your opinion on how we reacted, Stuart, and then the reaction to it from almost every Arsenal fan you're seeing on social media and whatnot?
Well, it's like everything. I think Twitter is one big overreaction. Like, if you look at someone's timeline, he's rubbish. 2 minutes later, he scores. He's the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the games where we've been losing. Oh, this is the worst Arsenal team I've seen. End up 2-1. Oh, it couldn't have been that bad. You know, there's two trains of thought to the Alexis Sanchez thing. One, you could say he acted like a kid. But the other one, in my opinion, that he showed how much he loves Arsenal. By winning 4-0, he's just scored. You know, it's one of them things. He's not happy that the manager took him off in a 4-0 win. I'll take that attitude every week, because he shows he's playing, in my opinion, he's playing for the badge and the fans. So when it comes to all this contract talk, I'm not worried about his love for Arsenal or the love for the fans. I'm more worried about it's probably sounds like a money issue, to be honest.
I'd agree with you.
Okay, okay. Yeah, no, I understand that. Neil, what about you? What's your thoughts on it?
We've spoken about it, haven't we, Jack? And I know that you've got a slightly different take on it, slightly different opinion on it. Sorry, can you hear me?
Carry on. Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. I echo what Stu's just said. I think for me, if it's affecting the other players in a detrimental way, then I have an issue with it. I really do. I think then that's not good, because if he's getting upset with players around him and the management because of it, then I have an issue. If it's just a personal thing and he's upset by and keeping it to himself, as long as he's performing on the pitch, I can live with that, because it's different if he was acting like that and sulking, like we discussed about other players in the past, haven't we? When players like Debussy and Oxlade and even Gibbs, etc., that it seems that they've come on when they'd come on and get their opportunities in the cup game or something, and they have a sulk on and they'd have that kind of attitude. With Alexis, it's more of a case of he's still doing the business on the pitch. He's still the machine. He's still involved in everything. He's like creating things. He's trying to change the game if we're not having a good one. You know, he's trying to influence and be infectious towards the other players with what he does on the pitch. And if he keeps doing that, and then he might get a little bit upset because he's been substituted, I'm not too worried about it, unless, as I said, it's having a knock-on effect with other players. Then I think something needs to be said to him, if it already hasn't happened. I don't know, maybe Wenger has already spoken, but I've just been watching on Sky and there's like a ticker-tape thing going on, and Wenger's actually expressed that he's not concerned by it. He doesn't think it's a significant issue at all. He's come out and said that, you know, every player gets upset about being substituted. Some players show it and some players don't. So it looks like Wenger's not got an issue with it at all. Mm-hmm. I just think that his passion is second to none. And I really hope to God that, you know, we can keep him. And as Stu said, it's related to contracts or anything. I think he just loves playing football. Absolutely loves playing football. Weren't you saying that the day that he was supposed to have off, he was on a bloody treadmill on full incline sprinting with a weight vest or something? So he wasn't even having a break when he's supposed to. So I think he's just completely, his focus is wholly on playing football and playing every conceivable second he can get. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes home at night and then he starts practicing in the backyard. I really wouldn't. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Whether we agree with it or not, it is happening more often, though, would you say, Michael? We're seeing a little bit more of these frustrations from Alexis, saw it at Bournemouth, seen it in one or two other games, come out, you know, more frequently. What's your opinion on his reactions?
The thing is with Alexis, ever since he's been at Arsenal, and we've seen not only him, but we've seen Ozil get really pissed off when they get hooked. The thing with Alexis, he seems more outward now. I think when he got subbed yesterday, he was mouthing something. Firstly, he was mouthing something in his language, and the camera cut. And then, okay, you're upset, you're not happy, you come off the pitch. You know, go and sit with the rest of the boys. No, he goes and sits at the end amongst the fitness lot. Then someone throws a coat over him, and you can see one of the members of staff, Arsenal himself, just staring at him. You know, obviously he can't tell that he's staring at him, but he's looking at him, and you're thinking, what's going through that guy's head? He's probably thinking, well, it's a bit much, isn't it? What's he upset about? You know, and then they cut back to him, and he's got the jacket over his head. You know, he's got the jacket. He's not doing it behind where no one can really see him. Where he's behind, you know, where Giroud was sitting or whatever. He's on the front. You know, all the Arsenal fans can see him from the away end. Everyone else can see him. He's got the jacket hood over his head. And I just thought it was a bit much. You know, unless he had something on, or maybe he promised someone that he was going to score a couple of goals and he was going to dedicate it to him. I don't know, but I just thought it was a bit much. considering the circumstances, we've won a game comfortably. He's seen one of his teammates, you know, come off with an injury, you know, which is Giroud. He's seen one of his, he's been substituted for one of the guys who's been out with two bad injuries, are going to get some minutes. He doesn't seem to have entered his mind. It's all about himself. And that's the thing for me. He's very insular with what he's done there. And, you know, if it carries on, like you said, Jack, if it continues, then it's going to rub people at the back way, I'm sure. You know, it'll be a case in point where, well, we better not talk to him today because he's still pissed off about being substituted. I just thought it was unnecessary. And that's all what the focus was about yesterday, on Match of the Day, on Sky and everything. After, you know, not the 4-0 win as such. The majority of the conversation was about, oh, Alexis, what does this mean? Does it mean he's going to sign a contract to, I just thought it was unnecessary. You know, I can understand him being a bit miffed, but he's got to take into account that he got substituted for someone who we want to see back and get some minutes on, and he got through the game without an injury when Giroud has picked up one as well. He just needs to chill out a bit, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he shook Werner's hand when he came off either, did he, really? I'm not sure if he walked past him as such, but I don't think he should. I think you're right, Michael. I think there's a line that you can do it to. You can be frustrated, and we love his attitude. Like everyone said, you should, yeah. and Neil, we love his attitude on the pitch, but there is a line, and if he's going beyond that line regularly, it's starting. I don't know. I get hints of Henri, you know, last season kind of feeling where he was, as much as I love Henri, and a lot of people seem to forget it, he was a nightmare the last season.
Last season.
He was throwing his hands up every 5 seconds, and he'd score a fantastic goal pretty much every game, so you forgive him, but he was a nightmare. He was an absolute nightmare, and you just hope that there's still, we know he's our star player, he knows he's our star player, but that, you know, that we need that star player to lead by example majority of the time, you know. So I just think he's got more responsibility. A lot of these players, especially younger players, they're looking up to him, aren't they? They're looking up to him and his attitude, and they probably love his attitude on the pitch. But that yesterday, I think it's a little bit petulant. It's a little bit over the top. I'd probably agree with you on that one. But then it is overreacted. I mean, he posts on Instagram later on in the day saying, happy for our team, etc. It's probably his agent posting it or whatever. But it is overreaction. And hopefully it's just the frustration of not playing and not trying to get another goal, you know, and do well for the team. And you know, time will tell, won't it? We don't know with the contract situation. Time will tell with that one. But in the end, you know, rather talk a bit more about the performance than that. But we thought we'd discuss it because obviously it was something that was talked about quite a lot after the game. Let's do a few more fans' questions. Let's go back to you, Stuart, at AFC_Forehead83. Adam Rocky #7. Appreciate your question. He says top man is. He says Gabriel, is he becoming a good, reliable squad player? Love his team orientated attitude. He says, hint, Alexis could maybe learn a little. What do you think about Gabriel? Got another view saying, from Ivor Cannon, saying that he was, maybe he's even more comfortable at right-back than he was at centre-back. How do you feel he's performed, Stuart?
I think we found our backup right-back, to be honest, in Gabriel, rather than Jenkinson and Debussy. For me, whenever I've seen him play at right-back, although he's not got the speed and the adventure of Bellerin, he's by far the best backup we've got, and I've not got a problem if his name's right back, because I know he's the type of lad, if he has to head the ball off someone's foot for a volley, he don't mind getting cut and fighting for the cause. So I have no problems with Gabriel, and to be honest, I actually think he's a better right back than he is a centre back.
Great. Wow. Yeah, no, I like it. I think I agree. I think he's been really, really good. And the good thing is you don't notice him that much. That's quite nice. You know, you're putting him at right back in a position that Bellerin's often very, very comfortable in and standout-ish. And you don't massively notice him, and he does his job, and he's reliable. Like Adam and you said, he's reliable. So long may it continue. And I agree. I think he could be our backup. I don't think it's an immediate concern to sign a right back. So certainly not in this window. But Neil at Class of Mezzet says Monreal, time to replace him or just a bad spell? I thought he was okay yesterday, but also, what was Perez just a luxury buy, or is he definitely needed? Neil,
Monreal, I think we've just got to give him. He might be just going through a bit of a bad patch, but I don't think he's not been that awful. I mean, I'm hearing stuff on again, social media and reading stuff in you know, sports reports and stuff, and everyone seems to be getting on his back. But I still think he's okay. I mean, I think he, in fairness, he probably had a better end of the season and sort of beginning of this. It was last season, wasn't it? It was playing really well. He may have dipped slightly in form, but that could also be because he's now got the pressure that Gibbs is playing better than he was as well. So he's got that bit of competition that might be affecting him in a slightly negative way, or it could be simply that he has lost a bit of pace, he's got a little bit older. I don't know what the answer is, but when I see him play, especially if we're, I know at the end of the day he's a defender and he should be doing all the right things, and sometimes he doesn't dive into a challenge or get involved or press a player as much as he should. And I think I saw an incidence of that yesterday even as well in the first half, where I think he could have done a bit more when Swansea were attacking. But certainly when I see him going forward, he's great at these overlaps. I think he's brilliant at them. He's always getting involved in that, and sometimes he gets a good cross in, and sometimes he even has a shot on goal himself. And I think he's, I don't think we've got two fantastic options like we have with Bellerin on the other side, but we've got two good options, I think. And they're both, for me, on a par. So I think they're very interchangeable as well. I think they're both as good as each other at the moment. They've both got their strengths and weaknesses. And I think we should just give him a bit more time, because you got to remember, if it's time for a change, that person will have to come in, get used to the players, get used to everyone, get used to the, maybe if they're coming from abroad, get used to the pace of the Premiership. I don't think this is the time for that now. And I don't even think Wenger's going to buy in January anyway. So maybe in the summer, yes, we can look at that. But not at the moment for me. I think he's okay. And as far as Lucas is concerned, you know what I'm going to say, Jack. I think he's a fantastic buy. I don't think he's a luxury purchase, and I think he, it's good that we've got that variety in our squad and forwards, because it gives us so many options. You know, they're all interchangeable, as we've discussed on previous pods and even today, and I think it just gives defenders something else to think about. And I think he's one of those kind of tricky kind of players, no nonsense kind of player. We know he can finish I'm really happy that we've got his that option and addition in our squad.
Yeah, a lot of people saying that because of our change from signing Jamie One Season Wonder Vardy and all that kind of stuff, and you know, but you don't know about that. Even when, you know, there were some rumours that came out after that that said Wenger actually pulled the deal on that one, so we don't really know. And I think Lucas is going to play a big part come for the rest of the season. I agree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good answers, mate. At Bob Lex also asked about whether we can sell Carl and Debussy now that we have Gabriel. I'd have no problem with that. I don't think Carl Jenkinson's good enough, lovely as he is, and Debussy's a...
I think he's going.
I think he's going to Palace, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's going to Palace, and Debussy, he can rot in the reserves as far as I'm concerned, so he's a scumbag, so get rid of him. I don't like him, never have. I don't know if you agree.
Well, fair enough.
His attitude's a nightmare, mate.
Don't hold back, Jack.
Well, you know. I just don't like him when
people
come out and speak to the press, and he's constantly sniping away at this, that, and the other. I mean, anyone could look at him against Bellerin, and there's only one winner, so.
Of course.
There you go. So, Michael at Mohammed BM Tom says, do you worry about our defensive midfield axes? We look way too open at the moment. We did discuss it. And are we missing Cazorla? Anyone's going to miss Cazorla, aren't they, Michael?
Yeah, of course they are, yeah. Not only for his forward play and the momentum he gives the team, just for the way he can intercept and get things going. He you know, that's one of the sides of his games that's not really looked upon. But his interceptions and his ball recoveries is right up there with the rest of the top ones in the league. So I just think, again, like we touched on, we need to try and keep our fingers crossed that we don't pick any more injuries, that Cochrane comes back fully fit, because obviously it was in hamstring again which he pulled, and just hope that, you know, wrap the guys up in cotton wool, that we've only got one game a week for the next couple of weeks before it starts to kick off again in February. So yeah, we just have to make do with what we've got at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yep, absolutely. Good one here from @Tyrone_718. Going to give it to all of you. We have multiple contracts running out within 2 years, plus Arsenal's contract. Too many uncertainties. Who would the panel extend and sell? I mean, he's obviously focusing on Ozil, Alexis, and Arsene. Stuart, just who would you extend and sell out of all of those if you had the option?
Great question, by the way. I'll start on Ozil and Sanchez. You've got to keep them. You've got to extend them because what team in the world can lose two world-class players and carry on the high performance and win stuff? As for Arsene Wenger, I think you're damned if you do and damned if you don't on that one. And what I mean by that is his unbelievable record. Who do you get in? Everything about the man. I really am stuck on that one. But I'll probably go with when it comes to Arsene, better the devil you know than the one you don't, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I'm sitting a bit on the fence on that one. If I had a magic mirror and everything that could tell you in two seasons we'd have done this and done that, or it'd have got a lot worse, then I would love to have seen it. But I don't know. I think definitely with Ozil and Sanchez, two world-class players to improve the team. As well, you've got to think about it as well. Other world-class players will probably want to play with Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, as well as Arsene Wenger. So I kind of have answered it and haven't answered it, but I've got to say, I'm glad the other people, like you guys, are going to put your two pence worth in, and it was a great question, so thank you.
Yeah, no, it was a good question. Neil, if you had to, I mean, I'm guessing you're going to say extend them all, but, you know, if there's one that you're going to lose, I guess, what do you think, Neil?
What, you're asking me one of Sanchez or Ozil to lose?
Yeah, no. Would you extend Arsene's contract, Sanchez's, and Ozil? I get the feeling not all three are going to stay. I mean, I get the feeling personally that one will probably go. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Oh, God, I don't. I'll be honest. Okay, I'm going to be blunt here. I just don't like talking about these things. I think we just got to focus on what's happening here and now. And we know Wenger always keeps his contractual thoughts to himself right till the 11th hour. We can all sit here second guessing what he's going to do and what he isn't going to do. If you want what I would like, at the moment, I just don't know who we could get in, because all the so-called top managers, I think, are already in contracts with other clubs. So, and for me, he's still a great manager. I know everyone out there is going to, 50% of people out there is going to disagree with me, but I still think he's keeping us consistently up there in the mix. We've had a bit of a dry spell with trophies, yes, I know, but I just still think he's a great manager, and I would like him to stay, maybe for another couple of years. The point is, maybe he doesn't want to anymore. Maybe this will be his decision that it will be his last season. So who can tell? With Alexis and Ozil, I echo Stu's sentiment. I wouldn't want to get rid of either of them, because I think the team has got to a stage now. We've been looking for a development in the team for so many years. Every season we seem to be getting sort of close to it, and then we'd lose our best player. We get close to it, we'd lose our best player. There was never any stability. There was never any consistency. Now I feel that those days where, you know, big clubs would want certain players of ours and we'd get all really edgy about it, and then there'll be this whole debacle over the media for months and months, and then all of a sudden they get sold in the summer, they get moved on, and then we'd lose our captain, we'd lose our star player, etc., etc. That doesn't seem to have been happening in the last two or three seasons, and rather than that happening, we seem to have been developing and building a squad. And I think those two are world class, and I think they need to stay, and we've got to do everything we can to keep them. As to players that are going, yeah, I mean, there is obviously some players that probably, even for their own sake, maybe need might be surplus to requirements. Some of the younger players who haven't quite made it and not breaking in and getting enough game time. Players like Debuchy, maybe even Mertesacker. Who knows? I think maybe we're not going to have much room for him now. So those kind of players, yes, no, Ozil, all those kind of, even, you know, we were even speaking that even someone like Ramsey maybe time for him to go. But look, we need him now. We never thought at the beginning of the season, when we had so many midfield options, that we would get to this stage. But now we need him. So I'd rather sort of look at this at the end of the season when the transfer window opens. I'd rather not say too much about it now.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I agree. I'd extend all three if possible, but there's so many ins and outs, isn't there, Michael?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the stuff that came out with Ozil last week in his comments in a German magazine. And Wenger's obviously come out as well, sort of saying, you know, saying the same sort of thing. I think I'm thinking probably out of the three, Alexis could be the one that is maybe who could be agitating for a move away, just because he maybe wants to get another big move again before he gets too old, or he feels that maybe he can maybe win some more things somewhere else. I don't know. But I'm thinking probably Ozil and Wenger will be signing on to stay. Obviously, I would love Alexis to stay, but, you know, that goes without saying. But, yeah, just echoing on what Neil was said and what Stuart said previously, I just think, you know, as a club, you want to keep your best players. And you know, for all the frustration Arsene, you know, gives us all, and you know, against the pleasure he's given us, you only got to look at someone we mentioned earlier in the pod, Iwobi. You know, what sort of manager would give someone that opportunity like that, you know, to come into the team ahead of other players, and you know, who are more recognised, you know, Ox and Theo, for example, you know, and he's been put in ahead of them. And that's because of Wenger's belief in him and his coaching and stuff. And yes, you know, you can see what Tottenham are doing down the road with their sort of younger players and English core as such, but you wouldn't see Mourinho do stuff like that, you know, and that's what he's about, you know. And if Wenger stays, you have to buy into that he's that sort of guy who's going to give younger players a chance, as well as having an eye out for someone who's world class. So I'm just happy that he's there still. You know, frustrating, he does frustrate the hell out of all of us, but I'm thinking he's going to be around for another 2 years for definite. And, you know, hopefully the other two will sign up as well, and then we can add some more in the summer, a couple more in the summer, like Stuart said.
Yeah, when we worry about contract issues and you see what Dimitri Payet's doing at West Ham, you just have to sort of sit back and relax, don't you? It could be far worse, couldn't it? So, you know, there's always a brighter side. So, last question, I'll give it to you, Stuart, at WPG Gooner. Says Arsenal 1 point behind Liverpool and Tottenham, 2 ahead of City and 4 ahead of United. But we aren't title contenders according to so-called legitimate pundits. Does seem that way, doesn't it, Stuart? Yesterday we saw a video on Donkey Savage and all the rest of them saying we're not going to finish in the top four again. They're laughable, aren't they, Stuart?
Well, you say that. I think you could use the word agenda if like you say, like Sanchez had a moan, he wants to leave. That's what all the pundits say, etc. Even rival supporters say the same thing. But when it comes to like things like that as well, you've only got to look at Arsenal's past history. So I can, part of me, like a percentage, can understand why people don't think we're total challengers to do like what we've done in the past. You know what I mean? We've got there, and then all of a sudden fall away. I'm hoping that we've had our little dip where even though we ain't playing, we're scratching your draws, you know, the odd win, etc. Then we prove everything wrong. And that's all you got to want as an Arsenal supporter, is people can say what they want, and the table at the end of the day don't like them, mate.
Yeah, exactly. We don't mind if people aren't calling us relevant at the moment, and we'll wait and see what happens in May. Fingers crossed, we'll stay positive. Let's do predictions before we go. Neil, Burnley at home, 2:15 game on Sunday. What's your prediction, mate, and first score?
I should have gone 4-0 for last week. I always say 4-0. The one time I say 1-0, they score 4. Bloody idiots.
Did someone say 4-0? Did Mark say it or Michael?
You said 3-something, didn't you? No, it was 3-1. I think so. You were the closest in terms of the number. Yeah, you said 3-1. So. I will go with 3-0. And first scorer, I will say Alexis.
Okay, like it. Michael, what about you?
I'll go 3-0 as well, and I'll go Mustafi to get his first goal, get off the...
Oh, wow.
Well.
Like that.
Yeah, still unbeaten. We didn't talk about Mustafi too much, but still unbeaten.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I think he's a fantastic player, Mustafi. I think it is the central midfield partnership. I just think we need to get everything working in front of him a little bit better, but I do think it is the one we want. I think it's class.
Did you see him yesterday, just towards the end of the game, when he had a go at Gabriel?
The ball was
coming out of the sky, and you could see that Gabriel was going to try and like control it, and he was like shouting at him to say clear it straight away. Gabriel brings it down and fucks it up, and then they almost get a chance and they clear it away, and then straight away Gabriel's Mustafi's on him saying, you should fucking, you know, cleared it away, like I said. And he's just showing, you know, he's got that leadership there, he's got the communication there, he's just, because he wants that clean sheet, he wants that mentality, he doesn't want to give anything away. So
he looked like he's got really the yard back yesterday as well.
Yeah, he's been
a bit dodgy the last couple of games, which you forgive him for coming back, don't you? Yeah, I didn't see that, Michael.
It was right towards the end.
Okay, got you. Because he is the more vocal than Koscielny. Obviously, Koscielny's captain, but you hope that Mustafi starts to become the more vocal one, because he does lack that a little bit, doesn't he, Koscielny? He's quite a quiet lad. He lives, by example, but he is quite a quiet player. But both fantastic centre-backs. Oh. Just, you know, I get people telling me all the time that they're both overrated, and I'm like, no. They're class.
No, the
reason we're conceding the chances isn't really... I don't really put it down to them two individually. I personally don't think that's the case, but... So I've forgotten what score you gave, Michael. What score did you give?
I went 3-0 with Mustafi getting the first goal.
Oh yeah, Mustafi got first goal. Perfect. Yeah. Neil, do you want to say something before I go to Stuart?
Guys, how old is Mustafi? Do you lot know?
I don't know, 24, 25, I think.
Yeah. Wow, so that's great. Yeah, he's coming. Good stuff.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Brilliant. Stuart, what about you? Positivity all around, 3 points. What's the score?
3-1, and me boy Alex Iwobi.
Oh, well, like it. Yeah,
there's a half face scan on there, I think.
Like it. He didn't get any of the goal. He didn't get that goal yesterday. It was an own goal,
he didn't. Yeah, it was own goal.
Right, fair enough. I thought it was on
target. Can I just have another prediction, Jack?
Yeah, go on.
Can I also say Joey Barton, red card as well, because he's a mug.
Yeah. Oh, don't start
game,
me on him.
Before the game, he shouldn't be allowed in the stadium for his record.
You know he's going to try and wind up Xhaka, isn't he? You know he's just going to go on there and try and wind him up and do something.
Yeah. And he's going to start because he scored, didn't he, yesterday?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Let's hope that on the next pod he's not a talking point for a bad reason. Let's hope he's
come out fit and healthy with that absolute criminal on the field. Yeah, joke.
Can't believe he's even allowed to play. I just saw.
Yeah, I know. It's mad, isn't it?
Disgusting. And Charlie Adams should be locked away.
Should be banned, didn't he? He's been betting on all those matches. He's not supposed to do that, and he's still playing football. It's like,
yeah, it's unbelievable. The amount he was, yeah, that's ridiculous. It's unbelievable.
It's like it's a different set of laws and rules for him. It really does feel that way.
Yeah,
scumbag. I'll go 2-0 Arsenal Ramsey.
Okay, all right, fair enough,
boys. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for all your questions again. Follow us at Purely Arsenal FP on Twitter, at Football Purist on Twitter, footballpurist.com. A few people have been asking, are we only on iTunes? No, we've got a direct Libsyn link that we post every time, a website, footballpurist.com. You can go there and listen to us, and you can just search Football Purist on SoundCloud, find the episode of Purely Arsenal that you're looking for, and you'll be able to listen to us there. So we're pretty much anywhere. So if you want to listen, hopefully you can, and we appreciate you listening. And thanks to Michael, Stuart for his late call up, and Neil for coming on. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Pleasure.
And up the Arsenal. Come on, the boys.
Come on,
you Reds.